Welcome to the Chicago Bears Podcast, a presentation of ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Here's your host, Pat the Designer.
Bear on Bears fans, welcome into another edition of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Pat the Designer, the good kid in the building with me today, John Yurkovich. Yurk, how you feeling?
Good. It's been a while.
It's been a little while. Been a couple of weeks. A lot of golf in your days.
You take vacations in August, right? You take your vacations while you can take them.
Absolutely.
So you got to get them out before the football season starts.
How you been shooting?
Well, got a nice event coming up this weekend. Two rounds, Saturday and Sunday, and so we'll see.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. We got football talk here, Yurk. The starters are playing, and so we'll talk about, give a little preview of what we want to see. Also, starting things off, want to talk about, should the Bears be on the phone with the Chiefs about a certain defensive tackle who may or may not be back until week 8? And listen, we got to get into where the concerns are still on this roster and where you're feeling the most confident. I feel like Yurk's got some confidence in this team heading into the season. All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. We do talk Chicago sports daily on this channel. Chicago Bears talk 5 days a week. You can't go wrong. Leave a 5-star review. Stop playing with
first quarter.
Let's jump into it here. I want to start off on the defensive side of the football because there's a player who last season got 15 and a half sacks and the Chiefs don't want to pay him in Chris Jones. Should the Chicago Bears be on the phone with the Chiefs?
No.
To try and make a deal? No. You're not in favor of it?
Not in favor of giving up any of your draft equity that you have to get a guy that, that obviously could come in and make an impact for you. But, you're building your team a specific in a certain way. And that specific in certain way is you're building through the draft and you're building through youth.
Right.
And why would you want to go ahead and give up that draft, all that equity that you've built up, just to get rid of it and then have to pay a contract extension to a player that had a fantastic season?
Yeah.
But Kansas City usually does things correctly. You've seen Tyreek Hill, still a great player with Miami, but they were able to move off of him and get something for him.
And win a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, still win a Super Bowl. They were able to move off Orlando Brown Jr.
Yes.
See, they brought him in. They paid him a lot of money. They franchised him and said, okay, we're willing to move from you. I don't know what he's going to be with the team that he's going to be with this year. We'll see. I think Cleveland, I forget exactly where he ended up. Frank Clark can play.
Yeah,
nobody denies that. But if he was a free agent, I'd say, yeah, let's go ahead and sign him. He's not a free agent. You're going to have to give up first rounder for him and then some. No, thank you. I'm not interested in doing that.
That would be the Khalil Mack swing, right? That would signal that, hey, we're going all in on this. We're going to try and win now with this team because now you're putting him next to a guy in Yannick Ngakoue who, listen, you'd have probably the most formidable defensive line in football if you did pair those two together. But like you said, the long term of that, is it worth paying that price?
I think you go to top 10. I don't think you go to the top by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
You go to the top 10 defensive line in the NFL, it wouldn't vault you to the top. You still got quality defensive lines out there. It wouldn't do that for me. Secondly, you got Yannick for only 1 year. You only brought him in for 1 year for a reason because thinking about developing the other guys.
Yeah.
So this is all about development of your young players. Yannick's going to help that development. He's going to help solidify the pass rush. He's going to help develop your defensive backs, too, by getting a consistent rush under quarterback. I don't like it because you've got to give stuff up. Doesn't make a difference what he's going to do to your team. I don't care.
Right.
I've got to give stuff up, and they've got this thing built right, and they're doing it correctly. It's the anti-Ryan Pace way. So why do you want to go ahead and screw this thing up? Don't screw it up. Let somebody else go get Frank Clark. Let them go do it and see what happens once they get him.
And it's funny, right, because usually you end up sitting there talking about the team that ends up making the trade for the player. No matter what, I don't care who the player is, how great the player is, how great the player turns out. Anybody that gives up the draft capital, right, you end up looking at the other team and say, oh, they came out ahead. In Khalil Mack's situation, we trade for Khalil Mack, but Oakland's got all these draft picks. Now, Oakland didn't turn, I don't think, any of them into any players.
Right, but they had a chance.
But they had an opportunity to.
They had a chance to, just because they made the mistakes and they had poor draft analysis.
Yeah.
Collegiate scouting, that's not doesn't take away from you know, what they received back for the player that they had traded.
And we really only got the 2018 season where he was healthy enough to be dominant there. So I don't know. It's always interesting, right? Situations like this. Of course, Jonathan Taylor's name has come up as well. I would never trade that capital for a running back.
Absolute pass. It's not even complicated. You've got Jonathan Taylor here and Roschon Johnson.
Right.
And once Roschon gets to his fourth year, you say goodbye to Roschon. The same way you said to Montgomery, and the same way you're going to say it to Herbert, and the same way you're going to say it to every running back that comes through the system. We appreciate your 4 years. Have a terrific life.
Yeah.
Good luck hooking up elsewhere. That's it. That's a cost control portion of the NFL now, is the running back position. And Austin Eckler doesn't have to like it. And Dalvin Cook doesn't have to like it. And they can all get on a Zoom meeting together and say, God, we don't like it. Maybe we should switch positions then. Who cares?
Yeah.
Quit your whining. If $10 million isn't good enough, go find another job. If you don't like it,
yeah,
go find another job. Not a problem.
It's so weird because it's like everyone's argument is that the running back is still being used just as much as ever. And it's like, of course, but the other positions are getting paid more.
There's a recognition of value.
Yeah.
Where's a surplus of talent? You know, your world-class wide receiver, you could see there's only a handful of those guys.
Yes.
And the drop-off from the world-class wide receiver to just another guy is huge. Whereas in running backs, they're all just other guys.
Yeah.
Unless you're Barry Sanders, then you're something special.
I think I've always said there's five running backs in history that I probably would pay major money to.
James Brown, right? Jim Brown.
Yep.
Jim Brown, you'd go with Walter
Payton. I'd go Walter.
Because you've got a home team bias here, so you'd go Walter Payton. You'd go Barry Sanders.
100%.
Adrian Peterson.
100%.
And then after that, I'm left searching and wanting. Maybe
I'd go Derrick Henry.
Maybe
that's my only other one.
Maybe Marshall Faulk. Maybe.
You know what? Marshall Faulk can be made in my mind because
not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's case is null and void. It's not even existent. A case can't be made for him.
Well, for Derrick
Henry, LaDainian Tomlinson, maybe.
Derrick Henry, for me, he's a freak of nature, and if he's on a better team, I'd rather see that.
Is he more of a freak of nature than Jamal Lewis was?
Yes.
Is he more of a freak? Why? Okay, there you go. You said yes, and then I'll say why. He's not. Corey Dillon? Is he more of a freak of nature than Corey Dillon? No. Is he more of a freak of nature than Christian Okoye? No. The running back that had a chance to make the most impact was Priest Holmes. Priest Holmes was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Priest Holmes in a 3-year period was the most dominant running back to ever play in the NFL, but he didn't do it over a long enough time.
Right.
So because he didn't do it over a long enough time and because Baltimore didn't recognize what they had in Priest Holmes, they missed out on probably his most productive years. So the point was that you can get Priest Holmes as backup running back to Ricky Williams from Texas as a free agent. 7 rounds go by, you can get him, and he became one of the most that's the problem with the running back.
100%.
I can go to free agency and find a running back that can come in and be a dominant running back. That's the problem with running back. A dime a dozen. You go over there, and you take the running backs with the Chicago Bears, and you put them all together.
Yep.
They're all identical. All of them. The guy you're going to release is identical to the number one guy you're going to keep.
Yeah.
They're identical. There's no difference between all of them. So.
And that's the thing.
That's your problem with running back. That's your problem with Jonathan Taylor. That's your problem with your guy, Derrick Henry. The other guy's LaDainian Tomlinson. Maybe LaDainian Tomlinson can sneak in there. Maybe LaDainian Tomlinson. Maybe Marshall Faulk as your fifth.
Marshall Faulk, I'll allow the argument on because that's the last all-pro running back to win a Super Bowl. That 1999, ladies and gentlemen, that's the last time a running back was impactful in winning a Super Bowl.
and what was he the most? Kurt Warner was more impactful on that team, right?
Yeah.
And Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce were more impactful on the team.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk was more impactful than the tight end, but you'd say he was number four on that list on that team.
Probably. Weapons. Yes. Yeah. I'd probably go four.
Because if it's Trent Green, they're not winning crap with Trent Green.
Right.
They got lucky. Rodney Harrison took Trent Green out in the preseason. And then all of a sudden it became Kurt Warner's job, and then Kurt Warner took off.
Right.
So it's uno, dos, tres, Warner, Bruce, and Holt. And then you get to Marshall Faulk, my weapon number four on 100%. That team. And on that team, it's not a bad weapon, I think two of those guys are already in the Hall of Fame. Three of those guys of the four are already in the Hall of Fame. Torrey Holt being the guy that's ready to get in himself.
Yeah. That 100%. Hey,
I don't mind discussing running backs with you. I've got no problem. Recency bias. I get it. He's the guy that's here now. But
I just think in any era, Derrick Henry's pretty unstoppable. Not many guys have broken that 2,000-yard mark.
Really?
He's
not many guys have. I mentioned all the ones that did. That's why I mentioned Jamal Lewis. And that's why I mentioned Corey Dillon.
Right.
I mentioned them specifically because they did break the 2,000-yard mark, and you couldn't bring it up as an argument.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was setting a trap for you. Trap.
You played your trap card.
And it took a little time for you, but you finally said, well, not many have run for 2,000. Walter never rushed for 2,000. We don't even talk about Emmitt Smith on this list, and he's the leading rusher all time. There's a reason. Frank Gore? Frank Gore's just a stat padder guy.
Right.
That's it. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, and all you're going to do is shake your head. Okay? That's it. But Frank Gore deserves to be in the Hall more than Devin, so that's all I got to say.
That was the shot of Devin coming. Where'd the Devin shot come in? Wait a minute.
Right there.
Friend of the show, Devin Hester, taking a shot today.
Friend of your show?
Friend of our show, yeah. Okay. Friend of our show, yeah.
Some might say he's a friend of the station.
Yeah, we've had Devin on. He's a good friend. Yeah, I love it.
Hey, hell, you did a hell of a job. Nice job.
Second quarter.
Let's get into the second quarter. Love having a good kid fired up early. Running back talk, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm always up. What else you got for me?
Second quarter brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. See Gypsy King featuring Nicholas Reyes on September 29th at Hard Rock Live. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. I'm not going to lie. I got to give him credit. He blew up my Derrick Henry argument. Like, I might have to take Derrick off the list.
No, it's your list. You can have Derrick Henry. I don't mind. I mean, it's your list. My list is my list. Your list is your list. We agree on four of the names. We don't agree on one of them.
On one. LT and Marshall Faulk, good names they have there, though. But I still want to listen. It's third preseason game. We care. We really don't care. But we're just trying to get to the season healthy for the most part. But Bears are playing the Bills. Starters are playing. Good kid. If there's one thing that you come out of this game with that you didn't know before now, what is it that you want to see?
The only thing I care about is Justin Fields getting out of this game healthy.
Yeah.
That's it. I also want to see if Bajant's going to be your number two quarterback. That's what I want to know also. So give him the start. Give him all the reps. That's not going to happen. They're giving Justin Fields the reps. I don't understand why you don't play the second preseason game and give him his quarter and a half in the second, give him his 20 plays that he's going to get, and then you shut him down. You're guaranteed coming into the first game that everything's going to be okay. Did it backwards. Eberflus did it backwards for whatever reason. He got caught up in the moment. Hey, if we have great practices against the Colts, you guys don't have to play. It's a little bit of a roar. Whatever reason, you did it backwards. Okay. So this game, all I'm looking for in this game is to make it through the game.
Yeah.
I've got too many starters that aren't going to play. I can't fairly judge it. The final five guys on the roster will be decided in this game. If it's teetering and it's tottering between two individuals, this is when the decisions are going to be made. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Whatever decisions need to be made, whether it's on the O-line, whether it's on the defensive line, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's linebacker that you think you want to keep, you don't want to keep, that kind of stuff. Your receiver, maybe one receiver stands out that you were teetering, tottering on. I'm sure Bayless Jones, who's protected from on high, won't field a punt again. And then they're going to put him out there in the first week, and he's going to field a punt. He's going to put it on the carpet. And then you're going to look at Eberflus and Poles and ask him, what the hell are you two guys doing?
Yeah.
Because if that happens during the regular season with what they know, what they've experienced, with everything that's happened, and you put him on the field and he puts it on the carpet again and he gets a turnover, you know what? Your jobs become at risk. That's when your jobs become at risk.
Yeah.
So
I think, and J-Mac talked to us about this, right, looking at special teams coach Hightower, says he's banging on the table to keep Bayless Jones a part of this team. He believes in Bayless. He wants Bayless to be a part of this team.
Is he his father-in-law?
It's the weirdest.
Bayless got pictures of him, compromised pictures.
It's the weirdest thing in the world because we've only seen, right, like, the good that we've seen has been one play. It's the deep shot that Bayless catches from Justin Fields as he's falling. Listen, if I wanted one play, I'd go get Devin Aromashadu. Like, if I wanted one play, I'd go get half the guys that are on this roster right now. Bayless Jones, to me, the fact that he's skating through when Travis Homer's on this team, when Dante Pettis, whatever his health situation is on this team.
Well, yeah, you've got to be on the field to make
it. You got to be on the field 100%. But I'd keep Trestin Ebner over Velus. Trestin Ebner can catch.
Yeah.
At a minimum, he can do this.
Well, I'm not worried about keeping an extra running back over a wide receiver. I'm worried about keeping the right wide receivers. That's what I'm worried about. And if you're a return guru, then you've got to be Mel Gray.
Yeah.
You can't be Velus Jones Jr.
Yeah.
That's not a return expert by any stretch of the imagination. That's a guy that blew two football games for you.
Yeah.
That's who that guy is, specifically. And he laid one on the carpet before. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So either way, I think those are the decisions that have to be made. But if they're preconceived and they're already done, you're doing a disservice to some of your other guys out there.
And that's the part that I hate the most, right? With all of this, right? To me, PJ Walker making a team. You paid him. Fine. You paid him. He's going to get his money.
Yeah. He hasn't performed.
PJ Walker's been awful.
Yeah.
I wanted him to be good. I was excited when we signed PJ. I was like, that's the perfect backup. He's been with DJ Moore before in Carolina. They played together. That's exactly what I want to see. He's been awful.
Yeah.
You cannot sit here and make me a case that tells me Tyson Bagent shouldn't be your backup quarterback. Well, it shouldn't be an open competition at this point.
Hold on, though. I mean, Bagent had a great game, and I agree with you, and I think he needs to get time with some others, but you got to replicate your performance.
For sure.
One performance doesn't do it. You know, doing it at practice over the course of a month, month and a half, maybe that gives you a benefit of the doubt with the coaches, but you got to see it again in a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Bajan's the guy I'd like to see get, you know, 20 plays also.
Yeah.
And then give PJ Walker his 20 plays.
Yeah.
And say, okay, guys, what do we got? PJ Walker played before Bajan last week. Bajan plays before him. Then you bring PJ Walker in. And then you start, you know, okay, this is what kind of field, this is what kind of look at. Let's go back to the practices. What do we see? And then that's where the decision ends up getting made. So
the tough part for me is, right, PJ hasn't looked good in practice. when we watched him in training camp, it's just like, hell yeah, he sailed that pass in practice as well.
Coaches have every single play of every single individual on film.
Yeah.
And they can go back and they can take a look and they can find out exactly what was happening the whole time.
Yeah.
So they have it. It's at a click of a finger. They can go over 100 plays each individual had, and then they can adjudicate it the way it needs to be adjudicated.
If there's one player that has surprised you to this point that you thought at the beginning might miss the team, that's going to make the team, is there one that you can pull up?
Well, you haven't seen so many starters, so you've got to go instantaneously to a backup. You know, I mean, that's automatically.
I thought Travis Gibson, I thought he might actually miss this team.
I think he still is going to miss this team.
Really? You think he's not going to make it?
I think Lewis is going to miss this team, too.
Mm.
Yeah. I think both of your guys that are doing it, they're doing a great job for themselves to make another team. But they were listed on fourth on the depth chart. They were listed fourth on the depth chart for the reason. If you look at the eight guys they're going to keep on the defensive line, four of those guys come from the interior.
Right.
One guy's a defensive end that can jump into the interior if he has to. Right?
Right.
So where do they make the team when it comes to the whatchamacallit? If you're fourth, you got to jump to third. Then you're third, you got to jump to second. They're only keeping eight defensive linemen. So, you know, where are they heading? Yannick's on this team, right?
Yannick,
so you got
is your
four
on this
interior
team, yeah.
guys. You got four interior guys, right? You've got Yannick's going to be on this team. Who's the guy that we haven't seen any action out of that was a starter earlier?
DeMarcus Walker.
Yeah, DeMarcus Walker. He's there, right? And then
let's get it here.
You bring another defensive end in via the free agency.
So right now you're sitting Andrew Billings, Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Jones, DeMarcus Walker, all locks
to be on
the
team. And so you got Pickens and you got
Pickens
the other guy.
Pickens and Dexter is six.
Right.
Dominique Robinson makes the team.
Okay.
Rasheem Green makes the team.
Well, there you go. Now where you got you're not keeping nine. There's no special teams happening from big guys. If anything, the kid from Kennesaw Mountain, Georgia,
right,
Kennesaw State, is a guy that you took in the fifth round, so he's going to be a practice squad guy.
Tebow.
Yeah.
Tebow.
Right? He's going to be a practice squad guy.
Yeah. I don't know. Does he make – well,
you're
going to designate him to the squad whether he's still on the squad.
You're keeping eight defensive linemen. You're not keeping more than eight defensive linemen. So where are Gibson and where are Lewis?
There.
Can Lewis be a linebacker who can double as a defensive lineman? Because that would be your area.
Yeah.
That'd be your area where you might be able to tweak it. Do you keep I mean, how many defensive backs? You keep it 10? You keep it 6.
You're probably
keeping
6
linebackers.
DBs. Yeah.
Maybe a 7th linebacker for special teams. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. If you had a tight end that could snap as opposed to keeping a guy that just snaps, then you get an extra position defensively.
Right.
But because you don't,
right,
you know, you got a place kicker, you got a punter, you got a long snapper. So then you take one away from your squad.
That is interesting.
And I'm giving you what, 10, 6, 16? I'm giving you 24 guys.
24.
And that's usually what it is. I mean, I don't – they don't keep 9, 7, and 10. That's not the way they do it.
You're going to keep more of the offense.
And who's right coming off the field right away? Linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, linebacker's first guy to come off the field.
I think the
– and then who's the second guy to come off the field? A linebacker. So you got two linebackers coming off the field in dime.
Yeah.
Right? And you're putting two more defensive backs in. So you need 10 defensive backs.
Right.
Because six are usually playing during the game at least 25% of the time. Five are playing at least 60% of the time.
You're at a situation now where in the linebacker room, Jack Sanborn, Edmonds, Edwards for sure. Noah Sewell probably makes this team. DeMarcus Gates, maybe. Micah Bakersville has had a nice preseason. Mikhail Walker, you just picked up from Atlanta. I don't know if he ends up making it. Dylan Cole.
Yeah, but I mean, you see, you're running out of
names. Yeah, you're running out of – the linebacker room quickly goes to like –
well, yeah.
This gets ugly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be quick. But again, when you have six,
yeah,
you've got real duplicity, and you've got six because you want to have a little beef on your special teams.
Right.
Right. But your last guys are going to have to be able to play. Your two defensive ends are going to have to be able to run and play a little bit. No offensive linemen are playing on punt coverage teams, right?
Right.
You don't see a punt coverage team. You don't see a kickoff coverage team. Punt return, kickoff return. You might put a lineman back there for a – and you can't even do the wedge anymore, so – you know, I mean, that's what you're looking at. That's reality, because what do you got? You got 9 offensive linemen. You got 3 tight ends. That's 12.
Right.
Right. You got 6 wide receivers. That gives you 18. You've got 3 quarterbacks. That gives you 21. Okay. And running backs.
And running 5
running backs. Gives you 26. Right. Don't forget about your specialists, the 3 specialists you got. You're at 23. I mean, 53.
Yeah.
26, 24, 3, 53. That's your roster.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't get no more.
Somebody's going to miss.
So the reality is that you're going to have to make sacrifices somewhere. You're not doing it. You're getting 10 DBs in.
Right.
6 linebackers, 8 defensive linemen. Those are your numbers.
I guess the question would be, has Dominique Robinson and Rasheem Green done enough in your mind to keep Travis Gibson and Terrell Lewis off?
Are they even playing?
Travis and Terrell?
Yeah.
Well, they play.
Lewis and
oh, Lewis and
Gibson. I've seen.
Yeah,
other two guys playing?
We've seen Dom Rob.
I haven't seen Yannick play.
We haven't seen Yannick at all.
Right, no Yannick.
Right,
but he's on the team.
And DeMarcus Walker, we haven't seen, but right. he's on the team.
Injured,
they're right? They're both gonna make
right.
the team for sure. So I guess that would be the question mark, right? Dominique Robinson. Listen, he had one game where he figured out right every time. Who's the left tackle from?
The first game
from San Francisco. Can't think of his name right now. Only great. Trent.
Jackie Slater.
Close enough. Trent Wilson. Trent Williams.
McGinchley. Is it Mike McGinchley?
No, Mike McGinchley is the one that we wanted. He was on the other side.
Oh, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was the free agent.
Yeah.
Oh, he was on the other side?
He was on the other side.
Okay.
It's Trent Williams, right? Trent Williams.
Was it Henry Ballard? He's Buffalo.
I got an uncle named Henry Ballard, actually.
Was it Kirk Strafford? Remember Kirk Strafford?
We're going deep in the deep cuts there, Eric. Right?
Mid-90s lineman for 1,000.
He had the one game where he figures out something on his game and he gets to. Outside of that, we've seen nothing of him.
Yeah.
I've seen Travis Gibson have a 7-sack season.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's kind of getting himself back into form. Terrell Lewis trying to make that name. So, yeah, we'll see, man.
Just say there's roster limitations.
Yeah,
so
100%.
It's going to depend what you're more comfortable with and what
100%.
You like.
100%. And unfortunately, right, like they're probably going to lean towards the guys they drafted.
We'll see. I'm sure.
Dom Rob's the guy they drafted.
When did they got to cut down to 53?
August 27th, right?
So it's going to be right
It's
going to
be right
week.
After this game, pretty
yeah,
much.
It's right after this week. They've got to get down.
And I believe we're still sitting at 90. We got to cut 37 people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
37 souls.
So – we'll see. We'll see what it ends up being.
You cut 37, you bring what, 8 back on the practice squad?
Yes.
8 to 10?
Yes.
And they can be from around everywhere.
How big were practice squads when you played?
They started in 1990.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 1989 is the first year they had practice squads. They had 5 of them. They paid them $1,000 a day. Not a day. $1,000
a week.
So the guys in New York were complaining, how are you supposed to live in New York for $1,000 a week?
Yeah.
And it was only the 17 weeks of the season. You're only getting paid $17,000. Matter of fact, they're getting paid more, I believe, in the preseason
than in the season. Oh, because you're actually on a roster.
Right, because you're on a roster getting your check. So the players, the NFLPA, sued the league. The league said, we're not bringing back practice squads. The coaches went to their owners and said, you know, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
We need these guys. He goes, I need these bodies for practice so we can have a viable practice. He goes, you guys need to get this back. They went with it without it for 4 weeks, and they brought it back. And I got a call from Miami to come back to Miami, and I spent the next 15 weeks on a practice squad.
Hey.
Hey, thank God.
Fighting your way up.
13 in the regular season. We played 2 weeks in the playoffs. So I was there for the playoffs. We lost against the Buffalo Bills, one of the first year that Buffalo went to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
First of four straight years that they went and represented the AFC to the Super Bowl. So I spent that. And then after the season, I became a free agent automatically. Automatic free agent. So that was great. We talked to Miami. Miami was blah, blah, blah. Didn't care. I went up to Green Bay and I worked out, and they gave me a contract up there. I got cut, the final cut, so I got cut. And they said, we're going to bring you back tomorrow. We're going to pay. So when they came back, they agreed to pay everybody $3,000 a week.
So okay. $3,000 a week, going in the right direction.
Some odd $1,000, $51 if you're there for a full 17. Green Bay goes, we'll give you $4,000 a week if you stay with us. So I signed. I said,
okay.
I signed with them for 12 weeks I was on the practice squad, and I got activated the last 5 weeks of the season.
Love it.
I made more in the last 5 weeks of the season than I made on the practice squad for 11.
How'd they adjust the contract weeks. On that when they bring they you on? Came in. They got to come in with a new offer?
They come in with a new offer. You know, my agent negotiated the deal. They come in with a new offer. And then you go up, you sign it, boom, you're an active squad guy. First play is kickoff return team. I'm on the wedge.
Yeah.
I got blocked Nico Noga from the Detroit Lions. 57. Nico Noga is flying on an icy field. Lambo. It was ridiculous. And he's flying. I might have got a hand on him. Might have got a hand on him. Touchback. Might have got a hand on him. It wasn't a good enough job. Then the first play was against Brian Baldinger against the Colts. Indianapolis Colts was my actual first defensive play when they put me out there for a series. 1,000 miles an hour. It felt like everything was like in the movie that won the Academy Award, What, Whatever, Where, How, Forever There Thou Art, and Beyond There. Remember the movie? It was filmed with Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. The little guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, okay. We're starting to move into stuff I know. Yeah, all right.
What was the one that won the Oscar? Yeah. What, Whatever, When, Why, How. It was like one of them stupid names. Either way, I don't even know why. That's how fast it was all moving. It was moving fast. I was like, what the hell is going on? Happened to make a tackle just because they ran back into
me. You ran? They just bumped into
it
you?
It was quick.
Yeah.
It was fast. And then 92, I got a chance to play. Lindy Infante was still there. Greg Blosch was still there. Hank Bulla was our defensive coordinator. So I got a chance to mix it up with them. Made the team coming out of camp. And, you know, got a chance to play. It was kind of fun. Played against Kirk Loudermilk and the boys, and everybody was on an active squad. 93, when I came back, is when I actually played well at camp.
It slowed
that
down
year,
for
I
you.
Played well. They signed me a 2-year contract extension. At that, it slowed down. At that point, I was set.
Yeah.
At that point, I was fine.
So are
at
you,
that point, it wasn't a problem.
Are you more of a proponent for, because this has been, this idea has been floated out there of, with extending the season, get rid of preseason, do more joint practices? Are you more of a proponent of the preseason sticking around because of guys who were in your position
I can find
a way on a roster?
Right. I mean, we had a guy drafted from Nebraska who was a linebacker. We had a kid from Indiana that was drafted down in Jacksonville as a linebacker. And I think they could have benefited if they would have been able to, you know, the 6 weeks in the preseason is not a long time to make an example.
No.
So having that practice squad allowed those guys that have been in there to get kind of acclimated themselves to the speed of the game. So I what I'm a proponent of is an 18-game regular season schedule, 18 games. I would have the two exhibition games, and you play your two exhibition games, and they butt up right against the first game. And
so it just goes right, 20 straight weeks.
And 3 weeks of preseason before your exhibition game. So it'd be 5 weeks total of preseason. That's it.
Okay.
3 weeks goes into your first game, goes into your second game, goes into your thing. That's it. That's how I like it.
A lot of football.
What?
A lot of football.
Well, 20 days before your first game is when you should go to camp. 20 days before your first game. It's another 6 or 7 before your next game. And then the football season starts the weekend after.
Right.
Play your exhibition game on Labor Day. Who cares? It's Labor Day. It's an exhibition game. Nobody cares about your exhibition game anyway.
Yeah.
Play it on Labor Day. You ain't got to leave it for college football and get rocking and rolling.
We'll be watching. We'll be watching both. We'll keep an eye on both.
Yeah, I mean, most people do anyway.
Here's the real question, right? So game on Saturday, you keeping a closer eye on Cubs Pirates or what the Bears got going on here with the pennant?
Right? I'll be watching the Bears. And I keep an eye on the Cubs, too.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the Cubs are able to do. Got a whole month of September left. They got the easiest schedule of all the teams that they're playing against.
Yeah.
So they need to take advantage of the schedule. And it looks like they are. They're winning series. That's all you have to do is you keep moving forward. I think they're going to have to play a lot better once they get to the playoffs. They're going to have to be able to raise the bar, and we'll see if they can raise the bar. It would help if Stroman was back and Stroman was pitching at his first half level.
Yeah.
But you got guys hitting the ball, and as long as you're hitting the ball, you got a chance. So they're hitting the ball. As long as you guys got it, they're hitting the ball. Now, I don't know what happens when they go up against studs. You can't play Cincinnati and Pittsburgh forever. Yeah,
you can't, when you get to the playoffs, you don't get to run up against those teams. Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a heightening of the level of competition. So we'll see. I mean, but Dansby Swanson, he's been there before.
Yeah.
So he knows what it's like. I believe the guy in the outfield, Bellinger, he's been to the playoffs before. So I believe he knows what it's like. So sometimes you got to have those guys with the experience dragging everybody else with them.
That's yeah.
And that's fine.
We've seen that a lot in a lot of sports. Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Third quarter. Real quick, good kid, what do you got going on this weekend? Outside of Bears football, what's on the schedule for you?
Well, you know, you got the tremendous event Sunday at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana.
Football fest, baby.
There's football fest that's happening. I got a fantasy draft tonight.
Ooh.
Fantasy, it's a dynasty league. We keep 15 guys.
I want to get in a dynasty league so bad. I literally was just talking to my guys about this.
You got
to
get all your guys and you got to do your initial draft.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the hardest thing to do is to get your initial draft and get everybody to agree on what the parameters of the thing are going to be.
And dynasty is every year you got the same team, right? Unless you, and you add rookies, right?
So what happens is our first three rounds in the draft tonight will be Bijan Robinson. The other guy, Jahmyr Gibbs, is that his name?
Yep.
Jahmyr Gibbs. It'll be Zay Flowers. So that'll be the order of how the guys get drafted.
Right.
It'll be, you know, who you like, who's making impact. There's a little number 42 down in Dallas, Texas, that's going to back up Tony Pollard. That looks like he's been playing.
Right. Well. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So whoever little number 42 is over there, get a
that's
name.
Who you got your eye
take
on.
A look
that's
at. You yeah. You get an eye on. I got the second pick. I had both Herbert and Burrow that I had drafted 1 year, figuring they could be good, and then I can flip one of those as an asset. So I flipped Herbert into being the second round pick this year.
I gotta get
which is kind of nice, you know. I'm gonna take that.
I love a good dynasty.
So I'll probably end up with the Jahmyr Gibbs guy because I'm sure Bijan Robinson is the guy that's gonna go first. So.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, that's how it ends up working. I don't pick again until 10th in the second round. So, you know, that's 12 and 10. That's 26.
Do y'all do defensive players too?
No, not individual players. Okay. I used to be in a league that did individual players. And then I got a draft next week on Labor Day Sunday. And that's one that we flip every year. So there are two distinct drafts, two distinct leagues with two different philosophies, which makes it easier. I used to be in five leagues at one point.
Yeah.
I got playing against myself. You know, I got one guy on one team, one guy on the other team, and in another league, this guy's my guys are playing against me. So how the hell do you cheer at that point, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I got three. I try to keep the teams right. If I go through the process of like this is how I built my team, I try to keep them the same.
So I won the league twice. In subsequent years,
yeah.
You know, I had gone bad. I had gone Theo Epstein on the crew. My team had started sour. I got rid of everybody. I lost, but you can't lose so much that once you get to the final four teams that don't make the playoffs, those final four teams have to play for position. So for the first team that pick, wins, so you got to be good. Still. Yeah, if you win once and then you lose next, you get the second pick, and then the guy that loses both games ends up picking fourth, and the other one picks third. So you can't empty the benches so much that you can't beat the worst teams in the league,
right?
Because you got to win two games to get the first.
I actually like that. I like that setup.
A pretty good league with a distinct group of guys that have played in this league since about 2000. We've been doing this for 22, 23 some odd years. We've had guys leave the league. We've had guys come back in the league. We've had guys pass away. I mean, it's been weird. So we've had attrition in the league,
yeah,
and the league's still going on and still happening. So it's a fun league, and it's good to see the guys. Most of the guys went to school with me and my younger brother, so we know a bunch of the guys for a long extended period of time. So
that's always a good time. Yeah, it's getting the boys nice together, you know,
dynasty
what I mean?
League. So we keep 12, practice squad 3. So Kenny Pickett's in my practice squad.
That's not bad.
Right?
Four for four yesterday. Get you a little excited.
Joe Burrow, now, the guy I let go, I let Jared Goff go because I have to let guys go. But if Jared Goff is there in the sixth round, I'll pick Jared Goff up again. Why not? Jared Goff's going to be there. They got an offense that can score. They were a potent offense last year. So I'll pick Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins or somebody up because everybody keeps their running backs.
Right.
Everybody keeps the receivers. Everybody keeps the tight end. I've had zero luck with tight ends in my lifetime. I got T.J. Hockenstein. Now T.J. Hockenstein's mad in Minnesota. I had Irv Smith. I had got Noah Fant. I had drafted.
Noah Fant. Yeah. Noah Fant had a solid six game.
Yeah.
At one time. You,
exactly. Just give me little streaks. And then I took the kid in Atlanta, Pitts.
Kyle Pitts.
But he wasn't doing anything, so I traded him away.
Yeah.
Traded him away for a bushel of peaches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it felt like.
But, I have that dog and the bullet right down with.
But I had Cooper Kupp last year and he was flying high.
Yeah.
He had 70 some odd catches in 8 games. Everything was great. He gets hurt. And it's like, no good. But the 2 years I won, I had Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. And that's when they were flying high early in their careers.
Oh, yeah.
And I won, and I had Dalvin Cook too.
Oh, you had all of the running backs that are out for questions.
I had the horses. But I always say pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and I don't want to be a hog. And I had the running back thing locked. There was a guy who was pitiful in the league. He's just historically a pitiful player. And so
bottom every
I year. Offered him Dalvin Cook for some future number one draft choices.
Right.
And a player that I thought had some weakness in an area that I wanted to have some depth there just in case.
Yeah.
And then he got it. And Dalvin Cook has been a great player for him. When healthy, a great player. When not healthy, not a great player.
Did you got him in last
healthy
season?
Same thing with McCaffrey. Hey, same thing with McCaffrey and Saquon. I traded away Saquon too. I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind. Listen, yeah. I'm Trader Johnny.
You keep the running back philosophy the same.
I traded him to get something else that I needed. You've got to do that sometime. Herbert, I like to draft positions where there's attrition, and quarterback is attrition. Then you go, and you know, your question sometimes is, do I want Jacoby Brissett, or am I going to make a trade with Yurko for Herbert?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
I want Herbert.
I want to be viable. I want Herbert, right?
I want Herbert.
So I'll draft young quarterback. I had Tony Romo on my team. I had Aaron Rodgers on my team.
Yeah.
They know I like to draft quarterbacks because they get hurt. And so before I could ever get a hold of Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody had gotten him. And then Jimmy never played. So that never bothered me, you know, so that's fine. I didn't get Garoppolo, but somebody else picked him up, and then he sat and rotted on his bench for a while because he didn't play a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it, man. A good fantasy league is hard to come by. I'm not going to lie.
It's a good one. But like I said, we've had players come in. We've had players drop out. You know, guy comes in, and we don't stop another guy that left the league one time. What happy? If there's an opening, the guy wants to come back in, we're not a problem.
Hey, come on in.
Hey, sometimes you got to step away.
Yeah.
Sometimes this thing can be maddening.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That is the one thing I know.
Trust me.
When you're sitting there for 6 weeks and you're like, this guy's done nothing for me. So you trade him at the deadline.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's the best player in the league.
He's a world beater. Yeah. I cut Kurt Warner 1 year when he was with the New York Giants. Just send a message to the rest of my squad. Rest of my fantasy squad. I needed to do something bold. I needed to do something bold to wake up the rest of my fantasy guys.
Did it work?
Cut Kurt Warner. No. It's like they weren't paying attention, or they were playing with different teams or something. Or the fact that I cut them off my fantasy team really doesn't matter to those guys. I thought I'd send a message. Anyway.
Especially not Warner with the Giants. You cut him too late. You didn't build Belichick. Fourth quarter. Where are your concerns most on this roster? Where are you most confident?
The health of this team. But I know in 16 days, 15 days, this team is going to get ready for the first 16 days. They're going to get ready for the first game.
Yeah.
And I know all these bodies are back. Jenkins not being there is an area of concern. Davis not playing. So I think the offensive line is my greatest area of concern, only because there's so many injuries and they haven't had a time to play together. And remember, those five guys got to be playing as a unit to be able to make everything going on with that offensive line to be cohesive. So that's my greatest area of concern. My second greatest area is the defensive backfield.
Really, the DB role?
Well, only because of Eddie Jackson I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy? Brisker?
Injury concern.
Right. Briskers,
yeah.
Listen, I'd love to be able to become more confident about it, but I can't be.
Yeah.
I like the individuals that I've seen play, you know,
Tyreek Stevenson.
No, the other one.
Jalen.
Gordon.
Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon. Gordon. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Practice, phenomenal. Okay, fantastic, good. But that's one of five, one of six.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more cohesiveness. And then with Yannick here, I'm feeling better about the pass rush getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
The other concern is the development of the two backup defensive tackles. It's going to have to happen during the year. Yeah. The game hasn't slowed down for either of them. Pickens is further along than Dexter is. That's simple as simple can
I
be.
I thought coming into this season, Dexter was going to have the easier transition because of the conversation we had where he's going from two gap to penetrating.
Well, that's why it's been tougher. If you saw the first exhibition game,
yeah.
He was like a snail off the ball.
His mind is still in two.
Yeah, it's a count and a half late, and he likes to do what I call the Chris Zorich. Zorich, because he was short, liked to look into the backfield to see what was happening, what was going on. Okay? So he'd be on his tippy toes looking in the backfield. You know what happens when you're on tippy toes as a D lineman? You go backwards. You go the other direction real fast.
Yeah.
So I think what he wants to do sometimes is peek in the backfield. You can't do that. You got to play defensive line by feel. He would serve himself much better if he can get across the ball 1 yard and play from there. Cross 1 yard, play there. And then you ain't got to be 4 yards in the backfield.
Right.
Get across, deliver the pop, extend your arms, and now you're playing.
Yeah.
So that's what he needs to get. Second game was a lot better than the first game.
He's improving.
Second game was a lot better than the first game. I'm assuming this third game is going to be better also.
Yeah.
So he's going to improve up to a point, and then he's going to have to find another advantage. And the usual next advantage comes with film study and with getting a firm grasp. Remember my year. Practice squad, right? Five games after second game. Finally figured it out a little bit, 92, where it slowed down, played well against Minnesota and the great Kirk Loudermilk.
Yeah.
But 93 was the year that I came and just blew it up. Had 5.5 sacks, had a bunch of tackles, game balls galore. So, and we were winning games.
How long do you give a D lineman before you start being like, I'm concerned about
like a receiver? He's got to pop in that third year. If he doesn't pop in the third year, then he's done.
Yeah.
He's got to, you know, you give a receiver a couple years, and if it's not going to happen, then it's not going to happen. So, third year, like I said, Pickens ahead of Dexter, though, right now.
That's for sure. No, yeah. Zach Pickens has, and we had him on the podcast as well. He just talked about, I thought his mindset was great. He said, my goal isn't to always get to the quarterback. It's to dent the pocket because that gives everyone else an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like that mindset there, that's the three technique we're looking for. The guy that causes pressure in the quarterback's face.
And here's the other thing. Dexter, too. Dexter's stance is just wicked.
Yeah.
Boy, you find a way to make that more efficient. You make his first two steps more efficient. I think you help yourself. Make his first two steps more efficient, get him a little bit more as opposed to being extended, get him a little bit more compact, you know. So you see a spring, right? You got a spring. If a spring's like this, how much pop when you let it go does it have?
Not as much.
I need him a little more compact.
Compressed.
Yeah. A little bit more compressed. That way he can come off the ball with a bolt of energy, deliver to hands, and then control the offensive lineman with the hands. A year in the weight room will help him tremendously.
And that's what Ryan Pohl said when he drafted him, right? He's like, these guys can get bigger and maintain speed.
Yes.
That's terrifying. hey, listen, I think where are you most confident at right now? Let's finish it off with that.
Most confident room because they're dependent upon a quality defensive line. I think the upgrade you made at the linebacker position, I've got a lot of confidence in. And I think my first three wide receivers I've got confidence in.
Okay.
And still I guess that would be, I think it would be DJ.
DJ, yep.
I think it would be
Mooney.
Yep. And not Claypool, maybe the young kid. No, the young kid.
Oh, Tyler Scott?
Yeah. I don't think St. Brown has it. He doesn't have it.
I think he's
he doesn't have it.
He's not Mercedes Lewis because Mercedes Lewis can catch. He's just here to block. Yeah. Like they literally just brought, it's the weirdest thing in the world.
He doesn't have it.
He's the best blocking wide receiver in the league. It's like I didn't know that we needed that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it as a receiver. He doesn't have it. I mean, he doesn't even have it where he's like Juju Schuster-Smith.
Yeah.
You know where he's either way where he's a three technique, a slot guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that either. No. I don't know what he has. They saw something in him. They signed him a contract extension. Scott's the kid from Cincinnati.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe most confident. I don't know. The one I wasn't confident in was because of the injuries of the DBs, but I have a feeling the DBs are going to have a great year.
If they're healthy.
Yeah. I'm working under the assumption that everybody's going to be good for the first game.
Right.
And if everybody's going to be good for the first game, then I have a feeling your defensive backs, while a weakness now, because I don't know who the hell's going to be there, I think they could provide a strength because your front seven's better also.
How quickly does that injury list shrink down? I feel like there's like
by the first, we're getting, first
we're getting
day,
16, 17 the names, first we're down
day,
to three.
The first day that they've got to report them and be honest with everyone.
That's when
right now they don't have to be honest with anybody.
Yeah.
So they can do what they want.
We're getting the hockey
very,
calls on
the
this.
Very second Vegas raises an eyebrow and says, hey.
Yeah.
The fuck's going on over here? And then they got to start listing what you are and what the injured portion is.
Yeah.
That's when things start to get very honest.
And we're getting the hockey injuries over here. He's got a lower body. Don't worry about it. Whole lower body's dead.
Yeah, that don't work. When you get into the regular season, that don't work.
Hey, this is another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Yurko, see you at Football Fest, my friend. It's going to be a fun time. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Right now. Peace.